Turn with me now, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll read this entire chapter. It's not very long, but I'm going to be using these first five verses to be talking about something that is related to the sixth commandment. Let's hear God's word. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature or creation, we might also translate that, of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wise fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. To this end, we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. And now may God add his blessing to his word. Paul, in talking to Timothy, was dealing with false doctrine somewhat at the beginning of this chapter, and with those who were around already who were saying that the spirit is all that is useful, the body entraps the spirit, and the body is to be refused. This is where what came to be known as asceticism in the church eventually came from, and it is not a biblical idea that somehow sin is in the flesh or sin is somehow in the created world, that sin is in things. This is not then a biblical example or a biblical idea. It is an unbiblical idea. It comes from pagan notions, pagan Greek and Middle Eastern notions that sought to deny the seat of sin being in man's heart. Men sought to say, sin isn't in here, it's out there. In this particular expression of it, which the early church was already facing, there was a notion that created things had sin, and if we just stay away from them, if we abstain from meat in particular, if we abstain from sex, then everything will be fine. That is the big thing. And God's Word in general, God's Word particularly here says, that such ideas are doctrines not of the Word of God, doctrines of devils or demons. Now then, there are still people in the Church of Jesus Christ, the professed Church of Jesus Christ, that say outward things are bad and we should stay away from them. There are others who want us to get away from meat, be because of other reasons. And this is what takes us to the sixth commandment. The sixth commandment, as I hope most of you know, except for the littlest ones, is, we would properly translate, "You shall not murder." It is a commandment having to do with the proper treatment of the image bearer of God, that is man. Proper treatment of the image of God. For even though the image of God within unredeemed humanity is marred, it is still there. And to attack man is an attempt to attack God. This is why murder is to be treated with death itself. We've already looked at that some. This is why even if an animal attacks and kills a person, it is to be put to death. This is why animals are treated differently than man. Because animals, though a creation of God, I mean, it's obvious that this is the case when we read Genesis chapter 1. They are not specially created by God in the way man has been. And God does not treat them the same. In fact, He commands us to treat them differently. Now this goes against a lot of our modern teaching and modern ideas. There's been abroad for 150 years now a very organized attempt to say that man is an animal. Man is no different than the rest of the animal kingdom. I started to say creation, but they don't believe in creation. We are all here by chance. We are all kind of on a continuum of life and existence that's just happened. It's all ultimately chance. So we are no different. We are no better. We are no worse than, as they would say, the rest of the animals. Therefore, man making himself to be special is, and I've seen this called this before, specialist or speciesist. You know, and it's akin to racism. Speciesism is akin to racism. Discriminating against other animals. And as a matter of fact, I've seen a quote from a man who has been in our civil government, who has said that man really is not part of nature. We were, but we've become a cancer on Mother Earth. And we must be gotten rid of. And he longs for a day when a great virus will come along and sweep us away. I wish that either he would repent of this, or be a little more consistent, and get rid of himself. Now, it is from similar concepts, misunderstandings, that many people, and they're getting to be a growing number, say that it is wrong to eat meat, and that if we're going to accord humans rights, we must give animals rights. One of the most prominent of the organizations that do so nowadays is PETA. That is an acronym for their name. They call themselves the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. There are other groups that go along with them, very similar to them, such as the Humane Society of the United States. And actually, this has been kind of a live issue in our state. Issue 2 was up for a vote this past Tuesday. And there was debate among some of us whether it was proper to vote for it or not. Not because any of us believed in some of the things we'll be talking about here, but because whether it was or was not a further elevation of statism. Well, whether it was or not, there was no debate among us, as far as I know, no discussion among any of us on whether it would be good to vote against it in order that animal rights people might have an open door to bring in some of their ideas affecting farming and all sorts of other things, with the ultimate goal of keeping us all from eating animals. Now, as far as I know, we have no disagreement on this. But you're going to meet more and more people who will. So let's talk about whether this really is the ethical treatment of animals or not. Let's talk about what the Word of God says, because let's be clear on something, or state it again more to the point, that it is God's Word that determines what's ethical. Not the thoughts and imaginations of man, not the so-called reasoning of great philosophers. It is the Word of God that tells us what is ethical. Now, some of you children may wonder, what does ethical mean? What does ethical mean? Ethical means what's right and wrong, what's good and bad, what is evil and what is blessed, what is truth, what is falsehood. The Bible tells us this. And if anyone disagrees with the Bible, they are flat out wrong. Dead wrong. Okay, are we clear on this? We're not going to wait and see what people think. We're going to see what the Word of God says. Let's first look at some things in the Old Testament. From almost the beginning, God has either allowed or outright demanded the killing of animals. Not at the very beginning, but almost. This has been an outgrowth after the fall of man's God-given dominion over all other creatures. And let's say this again. From the very beginning, not almost beginning, from the very beginning, there has been no equality between man and beast. This is why God had Adam, before Eve was even formed, God had Adam name the animals. Because in Scripture, naming is always done by the superior over the subordinate. Just like blessing is done by the superior over the subordinate. You will remember that God had Adam name the animals. And you will remember that naming has to do with bringing out qualities in another creature or person. Right? So it is that God renamed Abram to Abraham. God renamed Jacob Israel. It was Adam who named Eve twice. Did you know that? Once before the fall and once afterward. He gave her the name Isha, or woman. But he named her before the fall. Secondly, he named her Heva, or Eve, as we put it into English. And so it was that Adam was held to do so, as this was showing to him, first of all, his dominion over the creatures, and secondly, his very strong difference from them. In fact, it was so strong that God said it was not good for man to be alone, because he was different from all the other creatures. And his naming of them demonstrated this to Adam. It was then that God brought forth one who was of his bones and of his flesh, and whom he named Isha at that point, for sin had not yet entered into the world. However, the first physical death, not spiritual death, the first spiritual death happened to Adam and Eve when Adam ate of the forbidden fruit. But the first physical death of anything noted in the Bible was God's slaying. He did it of an animal or animals to clothe Adam and Eve after their sin. And you can read about that in Genesis 3:21. The first animal sacrifice. The first blood shed in order that man might have his fig leaf stripped away and be clothed through the death of another and be covered by God. Already in verse 15, God had spoken, had prophesied of the one who would come, the seed of the woman. And now he gives the first sacrament of the covenant of grace by showing with a picture of sacrifice and covering of sin. And outwardly anyway, they were naked no more. Nor were they clothed with the flimsy attempt of their own. No, God had done it. God had covered them. And this is a picture that they themselves were covered and were given righteousness by the death, by the shed blood of another. Do you note this then? God Himself killed an animal or animals. God can do no wrong. God cannot sin. Killing of animals is not sin of itself. And from very early on, animals were to be offered in sacrifice. In the very next chapter, we see this not only as God doing it, now Cain and Abel are doing it. And Abel brings sheep from his own flock to be offered in sacrifice to God. He did so in faith, and God received it. It was Cain who brought of the fruit of the ground, who was not accepted. Explicitly, animals are given to man for food ever since the flood in Genesis 9, when Noah and his wife, his sons and their wives have debarked from the ark. Ooh, that kind of rhymed nicely, didn't it? Debark from the ark. Anyway, after they had gotten off there in Genesis 9, verses 1 through 3, explicitly, animals are given to man for food. We don't know that they had anything but plants to eat beforehand. But now God says, you can do it. We can go on then into the next books of the Bible. When God has taken the family of His people, Jacob and his sons, into Egypt, and now they're oppressed. And so God raises up a deliverer in Moses. And in the next four books, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We see in these books, among other things, God setting up, God ordering an entire sacrificial system. It involved the death of unnumbered cattle, sheep, goats, and pigeons. This was a system in which the people were commanded to eat as well. Let me give you some scripture references to look this up. Leviticus 7, verses 16 through 18. Almost the entirety of Deuteronomy chapter 12. And especially was this the case in the Passover. See Numbers 9, verses 9 to 13. You can read about it in the original Passover in the book of Exodus. People were commanded by God to eat. In Leviticus 11, we see unclean animals of which the people were forbidden to eat. This was a new thing. It was a temporary provision until the coming of Jesus Christ. But for then, there was a list of unclean animals. They were not allowed to eat them. But on the other hand, there was a list of clean animals of which they were allowed to eat, and sometimes with the offerings and the sacrifices, they were commanded to eat. Hunting is especially allowed. There are some people that get
incredibly worked up about hunting. Oh, it's so mean. Oh, it's so terrible. Oh, it's so cruel.
God specifically allows it with regulation. There are some things they were not allowed to do, but in Leviticus 17, verses 13 to 14. And lastly, let's see what we just sang about in Psalm 105. God gave them the quail miraculously. And it wasn't so they could have them strutting about and you could pluck some feathers for your pillows, pluck the down for your coat in the cool weather. It was for eating. Or I should say, they were for eating. Now you remember God judged the people because they were complaining against His provision. But He provided them the quail to eat. And we'll be singing about Psalm 144. In Psalm 144, we see the herding of sheep and cattle there. Blessed by God. All of this shows that it's simply wrong. It is indeed a doctrine of demons to say that it is ethically wrong. It is somehow a breaking of the sixth commandment to eat meat, to have animals in subjection. Well, that's the Old Testament. Well, let's look in the New. Our own text talks about a demand for talks about the fact that a demand for vegetarianism is a demonic teaching, along with these other ungodly ascetic ideas. I got ahead of myself in my little introduction, but again, asceticism locates sin and evil in that which is physical. But the Scriptures say sin is in the heart. There's no physical thing that is sinful of itself. Paul particularly says that here. Every creature or creation of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. This is talking about sex. This is talking about guns. This is talking about alcohol. This is talking about meat. This is talking about all sorts of things. None of these are sinful in themselves. Now, it's true. Every one of them can be misused. Every single one of them can be abused. But the sin is not in the thing, but the misuse of it. That's where the sin is. And where is the seat of this misuse, of this abuse? It's not in the thing itself. It's in your heart. The misuse is a heart problem. As I said earlier on, sin is never out there. It is always, and do along with me here, pound on your chest. It's in here. It's in here. We've been going through for 5 years the Gospel of John. For several years before that, we went through the Gospel of Mark. Trying to figure out what to do now that we're done with John, but I'm kind of tempted to do Matthew and then Luke and then Acts, and maybe I'll live through to see all these things. But we have seen in Mark's Gospel, we have seen in John's Gospel, that Jesus Himself, being perfectly obedient to the Father's will, always kept all the law of God. Now, a few years back, PETA had a public relations campaign. PETA had kind of an ad campaign. PETA tried to appeal to religious people. And the quickie slogan for this PR campaign, this ad campaign, this appeal to religious people was, four words long. Jesus was a vegetarian. This is a lie. If he was, we have no salvation. For he did not, if he were a vegetarian, keep the law of God. He did not keep the law of God by not participating in the sacrifices. Not only that, if Jesus were a vegetarian, God's word lies. God's word flat out lies. Why, we were just seeing in the last few weeks we've gone through the Gospel of John that he laid out fish for his disciples. He did wrong in giving them fish if he were a vegetarian. He did wrong if there was somehow something wicked about eating animal life. Well, someone might say, he didn't do it though. He could still be a vegetarian. Well, we haven't gone through Luke's gospel in an expository series, but you can see in Luke chapter 24, verses 42 through 43, after his resurrection, that he ate fish. This is right before that verse 44 that Larry and I are so fond of going to, saying that the Psalms speak of him. He said that. Right beforehand, he ate of some of the fish there that night there in the upper room. And what did he give to the 5,000 men? What did he give to the 4,000 men? The equivalent of fish sandwiches, right? He gave them bread. Okay, vegetarians would be all right with that, I suppose. And fish. In fact, he made more of the bread and more of the fish. More fish got eaten. Maybe literally tons more fish got eaten than that boy who had the few little fitties and the few little buns of bread had even brought there. For people to say that it is wrong to eat meat is sin. And for them to do so usually comes from one of two ways, one of two sources. Either a denial that sin is inside but that it is outside in things, or else that men are not in the image of God. People are not special. And we are all on a level. We have a species egalitarianism. And in fact, maybe man we need to get rid of. Do you see, this also comes from a hatred of the remaining and abiding image of God, even in sinners. Don't swallow this, if you'll pardon the pun. It's poison. It's poison. Now, let's look at some objections. If you look in your little inside here, you'll see I've got a couple or three of these here. Four of them, actually. But I've got a bunch more. I ran out of space there. Someone might say, but they're all God's creatures. Well, we can't very well deny that one, can we? Indeed, they are, but they are inferior creatures to be used by man for God's glory. That is the consistent teaching of God's Word from Genesis 2 all the way forward. All of so-called animal rights, as conceived by modern-day fools and fanatics, is a bold attempt to deny man's special creation, to deny man's moral responsibility, and virtually, or maybe really, worship the creature rather than the Creator. But killing is cruel. Well, it can be. There is such a thing as sinning
against animals. There is such a thing. I will concede that point. To torture them, to torment them, that's wrong. It's not really a good thing, kids, to take a magnifying glass and burn ants alive. There's no need to do that. Why would you do that? It's mean and it's wicked to, and I'll say that, it is a bad thing to tear the wings off flies. You know, makes a fun joke. What's a fly without any wings? It's a walk. But to be cruel to, and that is cruel, it's not a good thing. To wantonly just destroy life, well, it's kind of devilish, isn't it? But that's not what we're talking about. In hunting, or in any other occasion in which an animal must be slaughtered, there are plenty of quick and humane ways to kill. But this is why even modern hunters today say that there is such a thing as an ethical and an unethical type of shot to make. If you can't get a good, clear shot, you shouldn't. Whether it be a deer, a squirrel, a rabbit, a coyote, whatever. And this is why modern hunters get really upset at someone else or themselves. Say if they're hunting a deer and they do a gut shot. Because the deer suffers and slowly dies. Whereas a shot to the lungs or the neck quickly kills it and it suffers minimally. But killing animals is wrong. Oh yeah? Who says so? Well, I think it is. That has nothing to do with anything. On what basis do these folks say this? It comes from their own foolish notions, their own over sentimentality, that's the word I was looking for, from ungodly philosophies and theologies, we can say that. That's where this comes from. It does not come from the final arbiter of what is wrong and what is right, what is good, what is evil, God's Word. In fact, such an idea flat out contradicts God's Word. Well, is there no place at all for vegetarianism? Since Christ has come and fulfilled the ceremonial law, yes. Yes, there is. There is a place for vegetarianism. And there are some sorts of people who are vegetarian who are godly. But Phil, I thought you said all vegetarianism was wrong. No. No. There's some people who just don't like meat. And that's fine. There's nothing ungodly with not liking meat. Especially now, since there is no command to eat of sacrifices because the sacrifices are ended in the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So if you don't like meat, there is nothing ethically wrong with you. Enjoy your tofu burgers. Enjoy your salads. Enjoy your vegetable casseroles. And I've got to admit something. Some of them are plenty yummy. If that's the reason why you're a vegetarian, well, brother, sister, God bless you. And God nourish your body and make you strong not only physically but spiritually as well. There are some people who even have allergies. And it's afflicting to them to eat meat. Oh, brother, oh, sister, I feel terrible for you.
But may God bless you in staying away from those allergies. There are even some people who are vegetarian because they are dealing with those who are newly in the faith and who may have imbibed some of these ungodly reasons for vegetarianism, so as not to put a stumbling block before them until they understand Scripture better. They don't eat meat. They entirely and totally abstain, so as not to wound the conscience of another. And Paul talks about that in Romans 14. We can't deny that this is godly. This is a wonderful thing to do. It is a great sacrifice. Well, then when is vegetarianism bad? Well, when it comes from a notion that physical pleasures are sinful, when it comes from an idea that men and animals are equal and that man is not specially made in the image of God, that's when it's bad. And it's bad when people say, not only is it good for me and my preference, but you have to do it too. Then it becomes sin. Then it becomes sin. It's bad to kill things, someone might say. Now, we might think that this is right along with killing animals is wrong, and maybe they are related, but I've got a little more to say here. Here we come close to the heart of things. Killing of animals reminds us that we ourselves are under the sentence of death for sin. And these fools fear that and hate that. They hate all killing by man, for that killing speaks to them of killing of man by God, and the death that does not end in hell. That's another reason why people of this sort get so worked up about this. There's death for animals, and there's death for man. Ever since Adam ate of the forbidden fruit, we have the situation that is spoken of in Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Now the problem is, that sin is really in the heart. You can't get rid of sin and God's judgment upon it by getting rid of things. The trouble is, the image of God is in man, and wicked fools hate that. And the trouble is, there is judgment coming upon sin. Wicked fools hate that. And they want to get away from that. They want to run away. They are looking for deliverance by getting away from death. They are looking for deliverance by trying to deny the image of God and God whose image is in man. And they're trying to get away by saying, I'm not responsible. Like Adam in the garden, they say, it's that woman. Like Eve, they're saying, it's that serpent. It's out there. It's not my problem. It's not my fault. God, it's the woman you made. God, it's the serpent you made. And ultimately, sinners want to say, God, it's your fault. I have no blame. Get off my case. Wicked fools. They are doomed to destruction. What hope is there for them? The only deliverance from the sin that is in their heart, the only deliverance from the God whose very image is within them, though marred, and who will judge them for their sin, the only deliverance from the God whose deadly presence frightens them so, is for them to hear and heed the gospel, to trust in the one whose own blood was shed, who was killed for sinners. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ.
to see that the sin, the problem really is in them. That they really have offended against the God whose image they bear. And to trust in the one whom He has given to deliver them from sin and then repent of that sin. PETA and HSUS and every other animal's rights organization is dead wrong with deadly lies. Let us be kind to our livestock. Let us not use them for our own selfish ends, for that is surely sin too. But let us use them as God has allowed and God has commanded for His glory. And let us properly, in Jesus, only in Jesus, be using them for His glory. Amen.